On this episode of the Progress Bar podcast, we talk about the latest news from the past week and allegations of corruption in the gaming industry. Stay tuned. There, and welcome to episode 23 of the podcast. I'm Brendan, and joining me is my partner in crime, Koshy.
Hey, you took the hosting job from me.
I know, right? how have you been, man?
Yeah, not too bad. Experiencing some awesome games. What about you?
Yes, awesome games indeed. Yeah, I've been checking out Destiny a bit over the weekend. I like it for what it is so far. I'm still quite low, about maybe, I think, level 5. Whatever the spare time I have, just been playing a little bit of it here and there. So, yeah, I thought it's been pretty good so far. Anything you've been playing worth mentioning?
Just a bit of Sims 4, learning.
Ah, yes.
Getting my Simlish back in action.
Yeah, how's that been going for you?
Yeah, it's not too bad. Seems like a refined, I guess, copy of Sims 3. Missing a few features, but hopefully we can see those coming through in a few DLC packs or so.
Yeah, sure. Oh, that's awesome to hear. Before we start on our normal topics for the podcast, we've got something really cool to announce. For PAX, Australia is coming up later this year, and I'm going to be part of a panel where I'll be representing the site along with joining our friends from other outlets, Save Game, Crit and Hits, Big Head Mode, and Digitally Downloaded.
Woo!
They're all part of it, and we're all going to be talking about video game journalism and what it's like to run our own operations. Our panel name is called For the Love of Gaming, and it will be, I've been told it's Saturday at 12:30, and I can't remember the theatre name.
On Saturday, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be on Saturday at 12:30. We'll put out more details when it gets closer to the day. Other than that, let's get on to our first news topic. So this is pretty much the biggest one so far. Microsoft have announced that they've bought Mojang, the creators of Minecraft, for a whopping $2.5 billion. The Minecraft studio have certainly hit the big time here, but Notch has said that he will no longer be part of either company, citing that he wants to stick with making small games and not be seen as like an icon or a symbol in the industry, like Phil Fish, the creator of Fez. But yeah, Koshy, what do you think on this one?
A lot of money.
Yeah.
Like $2.5 million.
$2.5 billion, yeah.
A billion dollars.
Insane. I only just heard about the news for this morning. I couldn't believe it. $2.5 billion for a startup, like an indie startup that made, I think they made around $50 million worth of sales for Minecraft. Like, that's...
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty insane. I mean, Microsoft does like to overpay for things. We've seen it before when they've taken over companies and things like that. They seem to pay you straight through the nose to get it, which is, I mean, it's a good thing for both companies. They see a big check and go, yes, I will accept all the terms and conditions in your thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And we'll deal with the rest later.
Well, it's not the first time that they've done this. So, like, I mean, they've bought out Nokia and Skype, and they've paid some fairly large sums for that. But still, I think Nokia was like less than the amount of they paid for Skype. But again, yeah, that's impressive. You know, for them to spend $2.5 billion, they must have something serious in their plans to warrant that kind of money.
Oculus Rift Minecraft.
Yes. Oh, that would be awesome.
Or a Microsoft version with virtual reality headset that's ETA released.
That would be so awesome. Oh, man.
You heard it here first.
Here, first on Progress Bar.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, like, they have picked up a few gaming companies over the years. The only problem with them picking up these companies is they haven't turned out well. Things like Rare.
Yes.
Or Rareware.
I was going to mention that.
As soon as they got taken over, it just disappeared. They released, like, Perfect Dark, I think it was Zero on the Xbox 360, and then that was pretty much it. They kind of just dissolved into the I guess, scope of what Microsoft usually is. I'm not sure how I feel about that now that Mojang's being caught up in that as well.
Yeah, it's a bit of an area of concern. I mean, with Perfect Dark, they were originally on Nintendo, weren't they? Well, that's one of their titles. I think it was on 64. I can't remember. But
yeah, the original Perfect Dark, and then they did, I think it was Conker's Bad Fur Day they did as well. Was it them? I can't remember.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I'm not overly familiar in that area. But
Conker's Bad Fur Day, Rare's last game on the Nintendo 64.
Ah, okay, yep. No, I remember, Rareware being, like, one of the major companies, like, back in the 90s, early 2000s, for that matter. And, they're just, you don't hear much from them anymore. You don't hear many titles from their area anymore after their, was it acquisition, Microsoft. But, we can only hope that, Minecraft stays a bit more lively, or Mojang may work on something, something big, or the next big thing, something that might be, bigger than Scrolls.
Yeah, that didn't really take off.
No. Notch mentioned that on his farewell post on his personal blog that he tried to make something big and he admitted that it kind of failed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you're using a name to back a product, it's a bit hard to, I guess, get traction if the game's not necessarily good.
Yeah, or to live up to the standards of its predecessor, which changed the gaming
landscape.
It puts
a lot of pressure on the actual... Yeah, it puts a little pressure on the company, too. You know, it's like, we made Minecraft, it was the next big thing. Oh, shit, what are we going to do now? And, they can end up making mistakes, and Scrolls was kind of one of those.
Yeah, exactly. And, Mojang probably got, or the team at Mojang probably have, many brilliant ideas that are just beyond a cube world. Mm. So, it's sort of like they've got the brand that, you're the guys who made Minecraft and only Minecraft and nothing but Minecraft.
You know how to put square blocks with other square blocks. So what we're going to do is we're going to throw you in the corner so you can play with Lego, and we're going to go do the rest of the stuff.
Or let's think of extending the dimensions here and include a sphere.
Ballcraft.
Ballcraft. Another one you've heard here first, people.
Yep, it's going to be out. We guarantee
it. Well, on to our next topic. A release date has finally been set for GTA 5 that's coming to current-gen platforms, with Xbox One and PS4 releasing on the 18th of November, when the PC release that's going to be coming on the 15th of January next year.
2015.
I know, it's a kick in the guts for PC gamers, but we're all too used to that, aren't we?
Fuck Rockstar, seriously, they're just doing it because of money. I'm glad it's going to be... If it's good when it comes out in January, I won't mind. But I've been waiting for this game for like 18 months now.
Well,
just insane.
I haven't, with all GTA titles, I've only played them briefly on PC, mainly just at friends' places. But personally, I've always played them on console. I think GTA 2 and 3 and all the way up to San Andreas, pretty much, I played them always on PlayStation and PS2, or PlayStation being for GTA 2. But the rest of them were all on PS2, and then GTA 4 and 5 were on Xbox. So effectively, I'm pretty much used to the console environment for GTA. And when the current gen release comes out, I'll probably end up getting it on Xbox One. And just going through it all again, I love the story, I love the game, I'm looking forward to just playing it all over again.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, really good. I mean, the one thing that people want to get in GTA 5 is the mod scene.
Yes.
Because, I mean, there was a kind of a big mod scene in GTA 4, because it's this big open world that you can pretty much do anything in, and it had the content there to do
it's
it.
It's an impressive sandbox for a game.
Definitely. So, people have been waiting for this for ages, and they're like, awesome, next-gen release, we're bringing it to PC, we're bringing it to next-gen consoles, let's do this. And everyone's like, yeah! And then they kind of just got shafted because Rockstar wants to make more money, so they'll release it on the next-gen consoles. Damn it! They'll release it on the current-gen consoles, and then they'll release it on PC next. I think it's got to be only for money. Because everyone will buy it on the consoles, and then they'll buy it on PC afterwards, I'm sure they will.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's some sort of marketing strategy to make sure that most people go for the console and then realize, oh, that's right, there's a PC release. But yeah, like you're saying with the modding scene, that the mods that I've seen for nearly every GTA game that's come out on PC is incredible. I remember the days looking at, you know, what you could do in 3 in Vice City, where people could reskin cars and introduce some really nice looking, you know, vehicles in the game. It was just incredible. That was actually, I saw pictures of them on, like, on the net. I always wanted to just, you know, see if, you know, or just give GTA a go on PC just so I could play around with the mods. But yeah, I never got around to it. But it's still
no. It's just too much effort.
I read through the instructions and it was a bit of an effort to get all the mods and the reskin cars going. But it was so cool. I think in GTA 3 you could drive, it was Vice City, you could drive around the DeLorean from Back to the Future, and you could actually get one that flies around.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I was like, oh man, why did I buy it on PS2?
Yeah, definitely.
I'm looking forward to seeing what they can do with, you know, with GTA 5. It's just a huge world. There's so many things they could do with it.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what they can actually pull off with it once it's released.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, I'd love to see the performance of the game just on a PC, because the world's so vast. I'd just like to see, you know, how far they can go, you know, graphics-wise and performance-wise. Just may, like, you know, take for example, could the entire map be rendered without any, you know, or without any draw issues?
Yeah, it's going to be a bit strange. I mean, Watch Dogs failed at that miserably, where the draw distance was all right, but the pop-in for it kind of was shitty.
Yeah, that was disappointing.
Yeah, so hopefully, I mean, I don't know if it's different engines or whatever, but it should be good to see, you know, what happens with that.
Yeah, for sure. And now we come to our feature topic for the podcast. So, over the past few weeks, there have been a number of allegations made with regards to video games journalism. You may have heard the name Zoe Quinn pop up here and there in relation to this debacle, along with further stories and accusations made about our local industry too. In my opinion, I think it's all bullshit, but I'm keen to hear, you know, what you think about it, Koshy.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard. We're kind of biased in the sense of, you know, we are in the industry, I guess we can say. We do have a website. We do talk to some of the people, especially in the Australian games industry. You know, we're talking to a lot of these people. And, you know, it's stupid, these allegations that are coming out. It's like, oh, you know, people are friends with each other because they have the same interests, but they also write for different websites. It's like, yeah, that happens in any industry ever. It's like that's how it works.
Yeah, like, you know, as you're saying, we do have a bit of an involvement in the industry, or we do have involvement with people. We do talk to people in the industry, as well as we do have friends who write for other or run their own publications, or friends who write for publications as freelancers. But yeah, I just find the whole idea that journalists are corrupt in this industry is just unbelievably, you know, just false, untrue, and just, yeah, like I said before, just complete bullshit. I mean, we're also citing a Reddit post that's come up about a couple of weeks ago, claiming that, you know, the fact that journalists and the PR people are friends with each other, therefore it must be corrupt because they get benefits. That's total crap. One, the industry here is incredibly small, and it's quite common. It is commonplace that we have friends who are in PR, and it has nothing to do with, you know, trying to get benefits here and there. And just for the record, we have never received any benefits or anything extra for what we do with our site. We always, when it comes to like review copies and that, most of the time, actually I would say nearly all the time, we put in requests for it and we go back and forth with PR. But just the idea of thinking, oh, people are friends because, you know, they want to get benefits, is just shit. It's just, you know, it's just completely false. People are they're friends with each other because, funny enough, they're actually friends. They're actually decent people that are worth having a beer with.
How dare they?
I know, right? Fuck.
Yeah. It's pretty insane. And, you know, the person that called out a lot of people with this, they actually put out names. It wasn't just, oh, this person on these sites and just being general. Like, they wanted to really attack people. And for them to be put up on Reddit, get to the front page of Reddit, basically. Well, you got to my friend page. That's where I saw it.
Yeah, and, I saw it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, basically, those names just get shamed. You know, if you read through the comments, you can obviously see that a lot of people are defending them, and a lot of people are being like, hey, what the fuck? We know who you are, because you've called us out. We're going to call you out, blah, blah, blah. But it's just, it's so dumb.
Oh, it is. And, yeah, I've read through the original, the original post. It's since been edited. But, the original post did call out a number of names. And, like, that's not just, you know, validating your argument. That's just being defamatory to the poor person who doesn't deserve it at all.
Yeah.
It annoys me completely that people suggest that we are, or that, you know, industry people, not even locally, but just, you know, worldwide, that people are corrupt. You know, so what if a journalist likes to promote a game on their, you know, their Twitter account? Like, so what? That, you know, they might like that game. They might think it's, you know, the personal favorite game of theirs.
Yeah, and, you know, it happens. You know, you get a game, you're going to be biased to it. Like, everyone's got a bias. Like, you can't go into reviewing a game, or you can't go into a topic without having some bias, without having some person tell you something that's going to go, oh, maybe I shouldn't be thinking about that the way I should be thinking, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, like, it is our job to minimize the bias when it comes to reviews and just, you know, look at the pros, look at the cons, and then just pretty much tell you guys, is this game worth your money? But, you know, outside of that, outside of, you know, our websites and in our personal lives, we're allowed to have a bias and preparation of what games we like and don't like. That's just being human.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. People are just, I think, I don't know, maybe they're just jealous that they are, like, the jealous person over on the side that didn't make the effort to get involved with people. Like, they just saw a bunch of friends over there and like, oh, man, I'd really like to go and talk to those guys. No, 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 I'm going to go post about it on the internet because it makes me feel better.
Yeah, I don't get the mentality of some people with all this. I mean, it's not even just in this industry. It's pretty much any industry. If you want to get your name out there, or if you want to know people and make friends, you've got to make the effort and meet them and say hi to them. I mean, that's something that we do when we go to conventions, or if we get the chance or the opportunity to go and meet other journalists in the industry. That's usually when conventions come along, or if we get the opportunity to go to Sydney. That's where it all happens. Yeah, you've got to we make the effort to, you know, say hi to our fellow journalists, to, you know, really, you know, get to know them, as well as catch up with our friends that are there. And that's how we build up our ties and connections with people, and that's how we get involved in the industry. That's just how things work. That's how you build up your ties in that. I mean, you know, there's nothing stopping you from, you know, getting the chance to
doing what we did.
To do what we did. And yeah, we don't stop there. We've never been at a point where we go, oh no, we're friends with everyone, because, you know, there are quite a few people in the industry, even though it's quite small in Australia. There are quite a lot of people here, and
there's a lot of old people. I always feel young, which is really strange. Like, you're the same age as me, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, whenever we go to see people, like, they're always like closing in on 30. And it's like, okay, Mr. Person, I'm going to just go play in my sandbox over here. You can go and be mature.
Yeah. Well, the cool thing about our industry is that, quite a lot of the people that are in there are around 30 or below 30. It's a very young, emerging sort of industry. I mean, you could compare it to maybe tech or IT, where there's a lot of journos who are, you know, over 40 years. But yeah, it's just a really cool thing to see that there's, you know, the power of like, all, I shouldn't say the power, but more like just the collective,
the power,
the power. Like the like the collective group of the, you know, the industry that, you know, represents Australia when it comes to video games journalism. You know, it is a very young group, and it's just really awesome.
Yeah, definitely. It, I don't know, like, seeing these articles pop up, it makes me kind of hesitant to actually, you know, say, yeah, games journalism is awesome. You know, you can run in, you can jump in and review some games, talk to some people in the industry, and, you know, go about your life. And it's just like, you see these where it's like, ah, corruption, and the industry's crashing, and it's like, why would you want to start writing about games? Why don't you just play them and piss
yeah,
off?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not a place for pessimistic outlooks. I mean, you know, sure, you get to criticize games, but that's not being pessimistic. We're just telling the game as it is. If it's shit, it's shit. But, you know, I mean, you know, if you're going to be a complete pessimist, I mean, for someone to have a completely, you know, pessimistic outlook to just the industry, you know, why do you want to be part of it?
Maybe it's, that's the point. You know, maybe they just weren't and they were jealous of it. It's just...
Yeah. Yeah.
It's hard to say what they were thinking about it. I mean, they wanted to say their two cents. Obviously, it got them a lot of attention. A lot of people talked about it. A lot of people probably just looked at it and went, oh, okay. And then they walked off saying, oh, well, Australia's got an industry. So maybe we'll get some press out of this.
Yeah, true.
It's just really strange. It's something that I haven't experienced at all. I mean, you obviously see who are the big names in the industry, but you walk up to them, you're like, hey, I'm a big fan, or oh, hey, I saw you working this, and they're like, what? Yeah, cool, man, like, that's awesome, come talk, and we'll do whatever.
Yeah, like, people in the industry locally, like, you know, in Australia, they are all friendly people. I have never had an issue talking to anyone in the industry here. Whenever I've introduced myself to people, they are always keen and lovely to have a chat to. So I can never understand why someone would want to go, you know, and go off on this rant and just, you know, just, I guess, throw it all away. If they claim to be a former games journalist, they've effectively just thrown it all away for themselves.
Silly, silly people.
Yeah. Even just, not even locally, but people overseas. It happens, you know, in the US, in Europe as well. I've there was a story going around, I think, a couple of years ago where someone tried to, yes, it was the whole the Dorito Gate scandal, the Mountain Dew Doritos. That's where I first heard about the whole video games journalism is corrupt sort of thing. Some guy went on a rant saying that, you know, journalists are corrupt because they're supporting their games in their personal profiles. And like we just said earlier, so what? That's their personal profile. They're entitled to enjoy, like, to, you know, they're entitled to enjoy their and like their own games or games that they like. And I think that...
Yeah, I mean, it's
Well, I think that journalist actually lost his job and pretty much exiled himself from the industry for it. And
Rant and rage.
Yeah, just because it was, yeah, just an ill-thought-out rant. It wasn't just ill-thought-out, it was just wrong.
Hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, people like to keep personal relationships separate from their professional relationships. They're not going to let the two get combined because obviously it's going to affect your view. If you're, you know, in a relationship or if you're friends with a certain employee at a certain developer, you're not going to review their title because then it may reflect badly on yourself because someone's going to find out. I mean, it's on the internet.
Yeah.
It's like someone's going to find out.
Yeah, that's all well and fair because that's you know, that can be seen as a conflict of interest, and it's great that they respect. Like, they respect that is, you know, that can be perceived as a conflict of interest. And, you know, the open-minded people within, you know, within the gaming community, you know, they'll respect that. I see that as completely fair. You know, that it reinforces the integrity of their site. I mean, you know, if it wasn't declared or I shouldn't say declared, but more if it wasn't made aware, then it could potentially be seen as, you know, suspicious. But I see that as a really, you know, fair move to make when it is made aware that, like, they don't review a certain person may not review a certain publisher's game because they have, you know, personal ties.
Yeah, very, very strange. People just need to chill the fuck out.
Exactly. People get worked up too easily when it comes to just gaming politics or even politics in general. I mean, just chill, play games, enjoy it.
You know, people are replying to that thread and it's like, oh yeah, you know, they sound more like way more serious than they actually are. And it sounds more like a random furious ex-boyfriend blogger than anything else.
Yeah, or it's just amazing how people think, oh wow, this is, you know, this is groundbreaking news, or this is a groundbreaking insight. No, it's not. It's just common. Yeah, you know, it's just commonplace. There's nothing groundbreaking. It's just a group of awesome people wanting to catch up with each other and have drinks with each other.
And they will welcome all comers.
Yes. Yes. We've got to comment. Oh, we've got to cover this bit too as well. Part of this rant claims that the group is very, you know, cliquey and, you know, it's, you know, likes to shun people out. But that's not true. If you are the kind of person who's willing to get into the industry or wants to be involved, and you happen to know people, or you happen to find people that you want to meet as part of the industry, go up to them, say hi, tell them that you like it, and who knows, you might get invited to come along to drinks with them or something like that. People are friendly, they are lovely people. Just don't
go up while they're in the middle of content, like I'm just going to record this thing, I'm recording in front of a camera or something, and then you walk up and go, hi, I'm Tim.
Yeah.
Why don't you come and have a drink with me? It's like, no, mate, I'm working. It's like, dick.
Yeah. If you want to do this, you've got to do it right. Just be smart with what you want to do.
A little bit of common sense.
Yeah, just use common sense with it.
But I don't know if this is something that you guys might be covering in the panel on PAX. You know, you guys, I don't know if, are we the newest people to on that panel? Are we the newest site, or is another one? I know Hit and Crits is new as well with our games.
Yeah, well,
hitandcrits.com. That's a plug for you guys.
Well, yeah, Al's been around, you know, for quite some time in the industry. But yeah, we'll just say that it's a fairly, you know, it's a new site. So among with them and ourselves, we're probably the newest. I'm probably one of the more newer ones to be involved in the industry or to be part of it, as well as yourself. I think the rest of them on the panel have been in, you know, in the industry for quite some time. But I think I'm not sure if we're going to be covering the corruption so much. It's more so, you know, just what's the main benefit between, you know, or yeah, between a full it's like a full news publication as compared to an independent publication such as ourselves, and what freedoms we may have. So they're the main key points that we'll be talking about.
It'd be good to cover from the different point of views, both the new ones and the ones who have been there for a little while.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, with our little chat on, you know, corruption and how it does not exist, we'd like to hear more from you. If you've got, you know, points you want to make, or if you want to voice your opinion on the matter, feel free to chat with us on the forums at progressbar.com.au/forums. Well, that is all we have for this episode for the Progress Bar podcast. Be sure to check our site out at progressbar.com.au. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at progressbar.au. Be sure to check out our forums too. If you want to find me on Twitter, you can follow me at sushi_brobo. And for those who want to, you know, find you on Twitter, Koshi, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at KoshiAU. Get fucked with the rest.
Yeah, that's the way. And yeah, just going back with our panel, we'll have more details leading up to PAX when it comes time in November. So stick around. We will provide some more news on it and how you can, you know, come along and see me, hopefully not make an embarrassment out of myself. So yeah.
We'll see. It'll be on tape. It'll be great.
Lovely.
All right, we'll catch you next time, guys.
Yep, we'll catch you next time. Cheers.
Bye.